And my friend, I just want to say to you this morning that when you pass through your firestorm, you may not be passing through it right now, but sooner or later we all will. Always remember, God is able to deliver you. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this second message taken from the book of Hebrews, Pastor Brian Grant shares with us the admonition of the writer of Hebrews, reminding us that, as professing Christians, we too have a spiritual inheritance that can be damaged or lost through ignorance or careless inattention to God's Word. Drifting away from the truth of the gospel is how the inspired writer puts it. It may be slow, it may be subtle, but it can have a heavy cost in its consequence. Again, Pastor Grant stresses 3 points from the Bible text of how this can happen. But, as we might expect, the Bible has the encouraging antidote to such spiritual lassitude and loss. So we invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, How to Protect Your Spiritual Inheritance. Here now is Pastor Grant.
One day after Sunday school, Mrs. Smith saw one of her students in the playground making ugly faces at all of the other children in the playground. So she stopped him. She stopped and she said to Bobby, she said, you know, Bobby, when I was your age, they told me that if I keep making ugly faces, my face would freeze and I would keep that ugly face. Bobby looked up at her and he said, well, Mrs. Smith, you can't say you weren't warned. You'll eventually get the humor of that. But you know, most warnings need to be taken seriously. 40 years ago, the scientists at Mount St. Helens had warned that there was a high probability of a major eruption at Mount St. Helens. So people stayed away for a while, but after month, there was no eruption. So people started coming closer, trying to get a better look. But on May the 18th, 1980, there was a massive eruption. There was a massive volcanic eruption. After 120 years of dormancy, Mount St. Helens erupted, spewing superheated ash 15 miles into the sky. Just imagine that, 15 miles. The ash fell on 11 states and 2 provinces of Canada. And after it had ended, at least 57 people were dead. They had died unnecessarily just because they had failed to heed the warning. And this morning, God has a warning for all of us. And I pray that as God's message goes out today, that all of us will heed his warning as I share a message with you entitled, How to Protect Your Spiritual Inheritance. Last week we started with Hebrews. We saw that in Hebrews there are 5 admonitions that the Spirit of God gives. Last week we looked at the first of these 5 admonitions, and in that one God warned that if we continue to neglect his word, we will drift away from him. And today in the second admonition, God is warning us that Christians who doubt his word, and you can put this down, Christians who doubt his word are in danger of losing their spiritual inheritance. When Hebrews was written, Nero was the emperor of Rome, and knowing that Christians spoke of a coming kingdom, Nero decided that the best way to protect the Roman Empire was to try to get rid of the Christians. So Nero started persecuting Christians. And some of you know very well some of the persecutions that started. But listen, all Christians were experiencing hard times under Nero. But Jewish Christians were in bigger trouble because they not only had to deal with the persecutions of Nero, they had to deal with the ostracism of their family. Because the Jewish families had pushed them away now that they had turned to Christ. The Jewish leaders were putting pressure on them. Jewish Christians were having a very hard time. They were in the middle of the fire. And in the middle of their firestorm, some of the Jewish Christians started doubting if God could deliver them. And some of them were considering turning back to Judaism. They didn't know they could do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Amen? It's a pity these Jewish Christians didn't look back and take the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those three boys? You know, centuries earlier, King Nebuchadnezzar had threatened to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace if they did not worship his idols. And you remember what they said. These guys had such confidence in God that they made a very bold response. And this response is so relevant to our situation today. I want to put this up on the screen because it's something that every Christian needs to grab hold of. If you are in right now, listen, I know I'm speaking to somebody who is in the fire. Oh, it might be a firestorm that has to do with your health. It might be a firestorm that has to do with your marriage. Listen, for some it's just dealing with the drama of COVID and all that it has to deal with. But listen, in the middle of the fire, these boys, they were not going to throw in the towel. They were not going to serve the idols. Daniel 3, 17 to 20. Here's what it says, and we're going to put it on the screen for you. These boys said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. These boys knew their God was able. And my friend, I just want to say to you this morning that when you pass through your firestorm, you may not be passing through it right now, but sooner or later we all will. Always remember, God is able to deliver you. Amen? And even if he doesn't do it on your time, oh, I love what these boys said. They said, we know he's able. But if he doesn't choose to, my friend, I want you to know, even if the Almighty God does not choose to act on your timetable, I just want you to know he's a faithful God, and God has his plan, and God has his purpose, and thank God we have a God who we can trust. Amen. God hates unbelief. I want that to sink in. God hates unbelief. As you read Hebrews chapter 3, the passage that was read to us, I hope you realized God hates unbelief. And we're going to see that resisting God is crazy. So write this down. Three lessons I want to share with you this morning about unbelief. The first one is this. Write it down. The craziness of unbelief. Refusing to believe God is crazy. Right now you're struggling with something and there's something in you starting to be not sure. Your faith is shaking. God, I want you to know unbelief is crazy. You're going to see that soon this morning. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It was about 1200 BC when God sent Moses to Pharaoh, demanding that he release the Jews who had been enslaved in Egypt for over a century. But Pharaoh refused, and as we, many of us know, God responded by sending 10 plagues. Now, just before God sent the 10 plagues, God instructed Israel to celebrate the first Passover. And you remember the arrangements. We're not going to go into all of the details because we have so much to cover. They were to slay a spotless lamb, and they were to put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts and on the top of the door. So the blood would totally cover the entire doorway. Now, the blood was extremely significant because God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That night, God sent his destroying angel to slay the firstborn son in every home. You remember the story? And the Bible tells us that there was weeping and wailing in every Egyptian home, for there was no blood on their doorposts. But in the Jewish houses, they all had the blood applied. And because the blood was applied, God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. The firstborn in every Egyptian home was slain, but not one Jewish home lost anyone. They were spared because the blood of a spotless lamb was applied. Oh, I could preach right, stop right there and preach. Because thank God, it is because the blood of a spotless lamb has been applied, why this morning we can say, free at last, hallelujah. We have been forgiven, we have been saved, we have been cleansed by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, hallelujah. These boys, these Hebrews, they had to go find their own lamb, but hallelujah, we didn't have to find a lamb. Amen. God provided the lamb. He provided his own son. And this morning, because we have received him into our hearts and into our lives, we have been saved. We have been protected from the judgment to come. My friend, if you're listening this morning and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is our prayer that before this broadcast ends, you will come to know Jesus Christ today. Pharaoh finally agreed after Egypt had lost so many young men. Pharaoh finally agreed to let Israel go. But shortly after Israel had left, Pharaoh changed his mind. And he mobilized his army and he went after them. And he caught up with them right at the Red Sea. And you remember the story of what happened there. They were trapped at the Red Sea. Israel was now at the Red Sea. The sea was in front of them. And Pharaoh and his men were behind them. What in the world they could do? They were in trouble. They had nowhere to go. But they had God. Hallelujah. We used to sing in Sunday school, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Listen, when God is on our side, we don't have to fear. And so God told Moses, stretch out your staff over the sea. And Moses stretched out his staff. Somebody help me preach this one. And what happened when he stretched out his staff? The Red Sea parted. The water formed a wall. Can that really happen? Oh, the scientists will tell you it can't happen. It's because they don't know our God. God formed a wall. The water formed a wall. And listen, the seabed didn't have no mud. They were able to walk across as if on dry land. There was no mud in the seabed. There was a wall. Can you imagine that picture? Wouldn't that picture be embedded in your mind forever? Can you imagine?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Remember now, it's a few million people, because the Bible said there were 600,000 men. God provided a way for this incredible group to get through. What a mighty God we serve. Whatever your drama is, just remember, but God. Just remember who we have on our side. And God made the Red Sea form a wall. They went over, and when Egyptians saw what they had done, they said, well, let's go. God brought the sea together, the wall collapsed, and they were drowned. Listen, our God, there's a song that's a way maker. What else is this? Way maker, what? Miracle worker? Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. He can make a way when there is no way. Israel had seen the awesome power of God. They had seen the plagues. The plagues only affected the Egyptians. They had seen the plagues. They had seen the destruction of the firstborn children. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea. They had seen enough already to develop an unmovable faith in God. They didn't need to see one more miracle. Are you agreeing with me? They had enough. But what God was going to give them a front row seat to even more miracles. And as they journeyed through the wilderness, God quickly gave them a heat pump. You say, I didn't read that in the Bible, but he might as well have given them a heat pump. He gave them something better than a heat pump. You know, a heat pump can give you both air conditioning and heating. And so what God did, he gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Make sure you don't miss how compassionate and caring God is. If you really think of the conditions in that part of the world, the daytime sun is brutal. It is intensely hot. I remember Cheryl and I were traveling with Egypt in a group. It's the first time we've traveled with somebody. And just as we are walking, he totally collapsed just from the exhaustion from the heat. Listen, that part of the world, it can be extremely hot. And God provided a cloud to give them air conditioning. Hallelujah. But in the desert areas like that, at night, it gets cold. Can you imagine a couple million of you hanging out in the desert, trying to move, to make progress? Can you imagine in the dark, cold night, God provided a pillar of fire to turn on the heat pump, the heat side of the heat pump. Hallelujah. But listen, not only did the pillar of fire give them warmth, I would imagine how incredibly difficult it would be on a night when the moon is low for us, all of us, to be traveling in the darkness. What a confusion that would be. God gave them a pillar of fire. They could see. They could make progress. God, how wonderful you are. How wonderful he is. God did one miracle after another, but there was more. We don't have time to go into all of it, but suffice it to say, there was manna falling from heaven. There were quails. I don't know if you ever had quails. Quails are some small little birds, quite flavorful. And he allowed these quails to be blown in by the wind. It was one thing after another. They went to places where the water wasn't potable, and God made it potable. They went to places where there was no water, and God said, strike the rock, and out of the rock came water to feed all these millions of people. What a mighty God we serve! God had taken care of all their needs, and I want you to know the God who supplied their needs is still supplying my needs and your needs, because the Apostle Paul tells us that he will supply all our needs. But despite all of this, despite all of what they had seen, when the time of testing came, their faith faltered. And that's what God wants to talk to us about today. Because sometimes when things are going well, we come to church and we run and we shout. But what happens when things are not going well? Well, turn with me to the book of Numbers. We have a little bit to read here. Numbers chapter 13, if you don't mind, that's where we're going. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among you." Don't miss this. God says, I am going to give them the land of Canaan. God has made a promise. I am giving you this land. And he said, go and get a leader from every tribe. These were not just anybody. The guys who were sent were all leaders. Jump with me now to verse number 26. "Now they departed and they came back to Moses." They're now back. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Are you with me? Numbers chapter 13. "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the Ites are there. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the bank of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" May God give the church leaders who will be people of faith and will recognize that God is saying we can overtake. But the other leaders, remember, every tribe sent a leader. But the other men, the other leaders said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation, chapter 14, lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" All of a sudden, Egypt is a great place. This place that they were crying to God in bondage. They were asked to make brick out of straw. All of a sudden, "Let's go back to Egypt." So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader." Oh, we don't want Moses. We're finished with God's leader. We want a leader who will take us back to Egypt. What a crazy... Listen. Isn't it evident that unbelief is crazy? After all we saw that God did, might I remind you who the great superpower of that day was? Do you know who the great superpower was? Egypt, not these Ites. These Ites were not the superpower of the day. The superpower was Egypt. And God had just decimated Egypt without doing anything. And suddenly, we can't trust God. We gotta go back to Egypt. And oh, may God help us as believers in Jesus Christ, that when we come against the wall, when we find ourselves in the heat of the fire, when trouble comes our way, when life is not going our way, might God help us to remember the almighty power of God that we have. Listen, let's not forget some of these stories, amen? But this story tells us something about human nature. Because it appears from the story that out of all these millions of people, that other than Moses, Joshua and Caleb were the only adults who did not doubt God. Can you imagine that? Unbelief is common. Finding a believer in Jesus Christ whose faith is anchored in him is hard to find. Because when the waves come and the billows come and the drama come, too often we forget the greatness of our God. But today, my God, help us to make a commitment that God, I'll never let go of Jesus. Amen. I will never let go of him. How is your faith? Is it firmly anchored in God?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.